I think in the course of 2007, the Star Child is going to move into mainstream awareness through a number of avenues, and it'll break out of, you know, it's well known in the world of alternative knowledge. It's an icon even, but it's very unknown in the mainstream world. So this is going to be its year, I think, to break out, because we know now that we're going to be able to get an answer to what it actually is by the end of the decade. So we feel confident in asserting that the answer is probably going to be definitively that it's not entirely human.
What happens if this television program takes a pot shot at the Star Child? Will that affect publishing of the
book? Definitely, that's a risk, George, and it's definitely a possibility, and we all just have to watch and see what happens. But I can tell you all what basically the pattern will be. They will let us say some very good and very positive things about it. They'll let us show it and you know, tell what we think supports it. And then there will be some expert who will come on, and he'll pick some small part of it. I don't know what, but some part of it, and he'll say, you see, we can show you an example where you see this particular characteristic. And so the whole thing is just, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater and don't worry about it. They never address all of the issues that are involved. The Star Child is a very, very complex thing. It has a dozen major things wrong with it just around its, you know, just on its outer surface. That's not even talking about the fact that its bone is half as thick as it ought to be, weighs half as much, is two or three times as hard, has these fibers laced through the bone that is not seen ever in any kind of bone, any other bone in history, not human bone, not mammalian bone, not reptilian bone, not bird bone, not dinosaur bone. The fibers that are interlaced in that bone are absolutely unique, and that's apparently what gives it its durability.
We have so many new listeners all the time, Lloyd, who are probably saying, what is this Star Child? So can you give us a brief overview again, and then I want to talk a little bit more about your efforts here to get this thing published.
The Star Child skull is a real, true bone skull that was found in Mexico, buried in a mine tunnel in Mexico in the high desert country around the Copper Canyon area, and it was found in 1930. It was carbon-14 tested as about 900 years old, so it died about 900 years ago. The lady that found it, she didn't know what she had. It was for her like a souvenir. She kept it in a cardboard box till she died. Then she handed it to another couple, and then another couple that now have it got it. And the woman in that couple, now they've come out of the owners, you know, have been incognito for most of the years that I've been doing this, but they decided to come out of the woodwork for the National Geographic show, so I can tell you who they are. It's Ray and Melanie Young of El Paso, Texas.
Okay.
And so Melanie, it turned out, was a neonatal nurse. So when she saw that skull, she knows what deformity looks like, what it's supposed to feel like, what it's supposed to look like, and she knew that was not human deformity, just from her own experience. But of course, knowing that and proving it are two different things, and so that's how they contacted me and asked me if I would try to, you know, go about proving it, and that's what I've been trying to do for all these years. It's a hard thing to prove. But anyway, that's it. The skull has the outward shape, I mean the outward parts rather, of a human skull. It's got a frontal bone, it's got an occipital, two parietals, two temples, two sphenoids. It's got the parts, but the parts are all rearranged, very rearranged,
weird,
put together in a new pattern. It's got a neck about half as big around as our neck. It's got cheeks and lower face about half or less the size of ours. It's got eyes that are sitting down in the middle of its nose instead of up at the top of its nose.
And how big? How big are the eye sockets compared to ours?
The eye sockets are very shallow relative to ours, so the eyes that go in there, assuming they're eyes like ours, are going to be substantially different. Or either that or they're going to bug off the face an awful lot, and we don't really think that. So the eyes
are they bigger?
Excuse me?
Are they bigger? The eye sockets?
The eye sockets are much smaller. They're smaller and they have a different shape. But
okay,
the main thing, George, is they're about a little less than half as deep And the parts, the openings, what are called the foramen openings for the optic nerve and the blood vessels and veins, nerves that serve the rest of the eye to make it move, those are squeezed down to the bottom from where they normally sit. But the thing about it is with all of these differences, with all of these physiological differences, it's perfectly symmetrical. It's put together beautifully. It's, in fact, in many ways, it's more symmetrical than an average human being. It's very, very well put together. But it's got, it's got a much larger brain than should be in a head that size. It's got a dent down the back of the head, a little dent. You know, you see pictures of grays. I can remember, I always see that little dent, that kind of heart-shaped dent in the top of their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what's that about? And yet you see this skull, and boom, there's that dent.
It has one of the,
it has you call one it, of those dents, exactly.
You call it the star child. How do we know it's not just an alien that happens to be small?
You know, George, one of the big mistakes that I made was calling it Star Child right out of the box, because that is right away an indication that we believe that, you know, we're not balanced. In other words, as far as science goes, when I talk to the science, or when I talk to scientists or the media or anybody, when the word Star Child has to come out, right away, it just, their hackles rise. That was a mistake. However, we did it because one of the other pieces that we have of it, we only have the two pieces. We have the cranium itself, and we have the upper right maxilla. That's your upper jaw, the right half of it. And we have that, and it has teeth in it and everything. Well, when we did one of the first tests we did was x-ray it, and we found that in that upper maxilla there are teeth waiting to come down. And, in fact, the three front teeth were not in the holes anymore, and you could look in the holes and see that there were teeth in there ready to come down. So we just looked at each other, and of course the experts that we were dealing with at the time, the dentist at the time, said, "Wow, it's a child. You got teeth up in the upper part of the maxilla. That means that it's a child of about 5 or 6 years old."
Sure, who hadn't had his adult teeth?
Yeah, you know, star child, and went with that. But later, then people began to argue about what the skull itself, the way the sutures are put together, the way the skull itself is put together, it looks older than a child. So there's debate still to this day. I'm still believing it's probably a child, but it could have been a very, very old adult that had the capacity to grow new teeth as it needed them.